said unto them, that was the Lord Jesus, take heed and beware of covetousness, for a man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. And he spake a parable unto them, saying, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself, and is not rich toward God. Amen. We know the Lord will bless the reading, the public reading of his precious word to all of our hearts. Chapter 12. And as you're looking up the place, could I say it has been a privilege for me to be back again with you in Coleraine. And again tonight, as we open up the precious word of God, we do pray that the Lord will speak to hearts. And especially if you're found in the meeting tonight and you're not saved, you're not a Christian, our prayer is that the Lord even tonight will speak to you and bring you to a saving knowledge of Christ. Thank God the Lord Jesus is still able to save to the uttermost all that come unto him. He is the way of salvation, because neither is there salvation in any other. For there's no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. And our prayer tonight for you, my friend, is that you will see your need of Christ. And even before this meeting goes out into eternity, that you'll come to know him whom to know is life eternal. Now with this portion of scripture open before us, Luke chapter 12, we're going to bow in a word of prayer. In verse 20 we read these familiar words. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? In this parable of the rich farmer, we are confronted with three great facts. We are confronted with the fact of life, with the fact of death, and with the fact of eternity. Although many today accept and believe in life and death, few will accept that man will exist in eternity. Nevertheless, the Bible teaches clearly that there is life after death. Maybe there's someone here tonight, and you're not saved, and you don't believe that there's life after death. Maybe you believe that once you die, that is the end. Well, my friend, when we turn to the Word of God, and even this portion of Scripture here that we have read this evening, the Bible teaches us clearly that there is life after death. The man in this parable, in Luke 12, had everything as far as material blessings were concerned. He had wealth, he had riches, he had prosperity, he had health, and he had a bountiful harvest. And as far as the material things of this life were concerned, this farmer lacked absolutely nothing. Indeed, so prosperous was this farmer that he decided to pull down his barns and to build greater. I'm sure that most of us, if not all of us, are familiar with this parable here of the rich farmer. But you know, as you study this parable here, something happened to change this rich farmer's whole circumstances. One day, as life was going on as normal, God stepped into his situation. Indeed, God stepped into his life. From verses 17 to 19, notice that it is the farmer that's doing all the talking. Take a look there with me at verse 17. And he thought within himself, saying, what shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, this will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow all my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. You'll notice in those verses that it is the farmer that's doing all the talking. But then in verse 20, God begins to speak. I want you to notice that when God began to speak, the farmer's voice is silent. Because in our text tonight, we read these words, and let us read them again. But God said unto him, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? You see here how God stepped into this man's life. My friend, let me say something very solemn tonight. If God were to step into your life this evening, you would have nothing to say. You would have to stop speaking. The reason why God stepped into this man's life was because he had a message for him. And very simply tonight, at the end of this gospel service, I want to preach upon the subject, God's message to the rich farmer. And we have that message contained in verse 20. And then when we come to conclude the message, I want you to see God's message for you tonight. If you're found here and you're not saved, born again of the Spirit of God. And I pray that if you're not saved tonight, that you will listen very carefully, because there's a very simple yet very clear, solemn message for your soul tonight. My friend, you need to be saved. That's your greatest need tonight. Now, I don't know who you are. I don't know what your background is. I don't know whether you come to church every week or whether this is your first time in church in many years. But one thing I do know, whatever your circumstances, you need to be born again of the Spirit of God, because the Lord Jesus Christ said, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. I want you to notice, first of all, that within this message, we see God's summary of this man's life. How does God summarize the entire life of this farmer? Well, God summarizes this rich farmer's life in two words. Underline them in your Bible. Thy fool. What an awful way to summarize anyone's life. But God said unto him, thy fool. And yet, as God considered the life of this farmer, he sums up his life, his entire life, by calling him a fool. Now, there's no doubt that this farmer was a hard worker, but God does not recognize his hard work. There's no doubt that this farmer was a good businessman, but God does not recognize his business qualities. Rather, as God comes to summarize this farmer's life from the beginning of his life to the end of his life, he says this, thy fool. What a sad summary of any person's life. And yet, my friend, this is how God summarizes the life of this farmer here in Luke chapter 12. Why was this farmer a fool? Well, he was a fool for a number of reasons. First of all, he was a fool because he left God out of his life. Not only was he a fool because he left God out of his life, but he was a fool also because he neglected his soul's salvation. And he was a fool also because he died unprepared. Now, we have already read the verses, and we're not going to read them again, verses 17 and 18. You will see there the farmer making his plans for his farm, and when he considers his plans for the future, nowhere does he consider God. Indeed, God is not in this man's plans at all. When he thinks about his life, he leaves God out of his plans. He was more interested in the material things of life than he was in the spiritual blessings from above. And of course, he neglected his soul's salvation. Because in verse 19, let us read verse 19. He says, "And I will say to my soul, soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry." He made provision for his temporal needs, but neglected his spiritual needs. You know, the Bible says, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? Or what shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" This man had no thought about his eternal soul whatsoever. His only thoughts were the temporal. His only thoughts were material things. And as far as spiritual things were concerned, and as far as the eternal destiny of his immortal soul was concerned, he had no thoughts about those things whatsoever. And when he came to die, he died unprepared. You see, this farmer was always thinking about life. He never thought about death, with the consequences that he failed to make preparation for death. When God comes to summarize his life, he summarizes his life in this way. He says, "Thou fool." My friend, let me ask you a question tonight. If God was to summarize your life, what would he say? How would he summarize your life this evening? And I'm speaking particularly to those in the meeting who are not saved and not born again of the Spirit of God. Now, you might be a hard worker, and you might be a good businessman, and you might live a good, upright, moral life as far as you're concerned. My friend, listen, if you leave God out of your life, if you neglect your soul's salvation, if you die unprepared for the great eternity, then there is only one way that God will summarize your life, and that is by saying, "Thy fool." Because the truth is, and I say this lovingly, but I say it on the authority of God's word, if you leave God out of your life, if you neglect your soul's salvation, if you die unprepared, then you are a fool. You're a fool. How would God summarize your life tonight? You say to me, "But preacher, I come to church and I come here faithfully every week." But my friend, if you're not saved by the grace of God, if you're not redeemed by the blood of Christ, and if you have not come to a saving knowledge of the Lord Jesus, then you're still neglecting your soul's salvation. And the most valuable possession that you have tonight is your soul. That verse that I quoted, let me quote it again. Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he shall gain the whole world and lose his own soul? What shall a man give in exchange for his soul?" The most valuable possession that you have is your soul. You may be rich, you may be popular, you may have all the worldly goods that this world has to offer, but let me tell you tonight, if you're not saved, if your soul is not prepared for heaven, then you're a beggar. You're a beggar. That's why you need this night to prepare to meet God. You need to stop running away from God. You need to stop resisting the strivings of the Holy Spirit in your life. And you need to turn to Christ and be gloriously saved. Notice how God summarized his life. He says, "Thou fool." But then you'll notice something else here. You'll notice within this message, not only did God summarize his life, but you'll notice that God summons to this man's soul. Look what it says in verse 20. "But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." Here we have God summoning this man's soul to the bar of judgment to give an account of his life on earth. You see, while the body will die, the soul will live on. The word "summons" means to require one's presence with haste. And you know, the day will come, my friend, that God will summons your soul to the bar of judgment. Just as the criminal has to stand before the judge and give an account of what they have done, so you, my friend, if you're found here tonight and you're not saved, someday God will require your soul to the bar of His judgment seat. Because remember that God is the judge of all the earth. And the Bible says that God hath appointed a day in the which He will judge the world in righteousness. You'll notice that the summons was sure, because our text says, "Thy soul shall be required of thee." You'll notice that the summons was sudden, because our text says, "This night thy soul shall be required of thee." And you'll notice something else, that the summons separated this man from all his earthly goods, because the latter part of verse 20 says, "Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" My friend, the Word of God tells us that every one of us shall give an account of himself to God. In Matthew 12, verse 36, it says, "Every idle word that man shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment." And the Bible tells us concerning riches and the wealth of this world that riches are not forever. Indeed, in Psalm 49, verse 10, we read that wise men die, likewise the fool, and leave their wealth to others. And it was Paul who said to young Timothy, "We brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out." See what's happening here? God has a message for this farmer. And within the message, he summarizes his life, "Thy fool." But within the message, he summonses his soul to judgment. You know, friend, we live in an age when men don't think about eternity. And they don't think about where their souls are going to spend eternity. I wonder if there's someone here tonight and you have no thought about eternity, and you have no thought about meeting God, and you have no thought about dying, and you have no thought about leaving this scene of time. As far as you're concerned, you're just like the rich farmer. You're living for today. You're planning for the future. As far as you're concerned, you have your health and your strength. You have your family around you. You have a good job. And you have everything materially, as far as this world is concerned, that anyone could give you. What if God was tonight to summons your soul to the bar of judgment? If God tonight was to say, "Young man, young woman, older person, this night thy soul shall be required of thee." How would it be with you, friend? Oh, these are solemn things that we're considering tonight. But you know, this is a solemn text of Scripture. And it's a text of Scripture that the Lord has laid upon our hearts to preach in this gospel meeting. Is there someone here tonight? And deep down in your heart, you know that you're not prepared for death, and you know that you're not saved, and you know that if you were to die now, instead of going to heaven, you'd be lost in hell forever and forever and forever. And what a solemn thought that is. Now, I know that in this 21st century, men and women don't like to hear about hell and about judgment to come. But you know, friend, the truth is this, that the Bible hasn't changed, and the Word of God is still the same. "He that believeth on the Son hath everlasting life, but he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abideth on him." What a tragedy to come under the sound of the gospel and to hear the Word of God preached and to hear the warnings of God's truth, and yet to end up in a Christless eternity forever and forever. Praise God, that need not to be the case. Why? Because the Lord Jesus Christ has died upon the cross, and upon that middle tree on Golgotha's brow, He shed His precious blood for your sins and for my sins. He laid down His life, a ransom for the many. Oh, come with me, visit Calvary, where my Redeemer died. His blood it fills the fountain, 'tis full. 'Tis deep, 'tis wide. And thank God, at the cross tonight, you can find mercy, you can find salvation, you can find redemption, you can find everlasting life. Because the Word of God tells me that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. My friend, if you call tonight in repentance and in true faith, the Lord will save you, and the Lord will redeem you. And you can leave this meeting on your way to heaven knowing that you'll never be in a lost eternity. But the question is this: how is it with your soul? We often sing that little chorus with the children, "You've a soul to be saved. Let this truth be engraved in your heart and your mind while you're young. Oh, how awful the cost if your soul should be lost and in hell if you die as you are. Oh, I solemnly say to you tonight, sir, madam, young person, older person, I solemnly say to you tonight, get right with God. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. And thank God you can leave this place with your sins forgiven, knowing that you're on your way to heaven." Or within the message, we see God's summary of this man's life, "Thou fool." Within the message, we can see God's summons to this man's soul. "This night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided?" But notice something else, and I want you to look at verse 21 here. Within this message, we see God's startling warning from this man's death. You see, the man died. Look what verse 21 says. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich towards God." You know, God is still speaking here. But now he's speaking to you and me. In verse 20, he's speaking to the rich farmer. He's addressing the farmer. But verse 21, he's speaking to you and me. All scripture has a personal application. Therefore, within this parable in Luke 12, there is a personal message for you and I. And the message is this: if you die in the same condition as this rich farmer, then you will die a fool. That's what verse 21 is teaching. In other words, God here is saying, think of your soul instead of your body. Make preparation for your death instead of making preparation for your life upon earth. Oh, I know that we all have to make plans. We all have to think of the future as far as living upon this earth is concerned. We have to think of our children. We have to think of our families. Only a fool would neglect their own house. My friend, there's something more important than your children. There's something more important than your wife. And there's something more important than your earthly possessions. And there's something more important than your future upon this earth. It's your future in the great eternity. And here, the Lord speaks to you. "So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." You know what the Bible says? The Bible says, "Boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth." You know, that's the message in this parable. The farmer was boasting himself of tomorrow. He was making his plans without God for tomorrow. He was seeking to think more of the physical than he was of the spiritual, more of the materialistic age in which he was living rather than his spiritual need. He was boasting that he was going to live for many years. And yet God says, "This night, thy fool, thy soul shall be required of thee." My friend, we do not know what will happen tonight, not alone tomorrow. We don't know whether we'll be still here this time next week or whether we'll be in the great eternity. That's why we need to prepare to meet God now. You need to seek the Lord now. You need to be saved now. You need to be redeemed now. You need to come to Christ and accept him as your own and personal Savior now. And here we have God's startling warning from this man's death. In other words, what the Lord is saying to you is this: don't you be a fool. Don't you be a fool. My friend, are you a fool tonight? If you've left God out of your life, you're a fool. If you've neglected your soul's salvation, you're a fool. If you haven't prepared for death, then you're a fool. Many, many years ago, there was a king. And in those days, kings ruled. And this king had a jester. Now, a jester was one who made the king laugh. Every time the king was sad, he would get his jester to act the fool and make him laugh. And this jester was faithful to his king for many, many years. But the day came when the king had a special banquet. And, of course, all his guests were there. And he got the jester out to fool about and to make them all laugh. And the king was so impressed with the jester that day that he gave him a special gift. And the special gift was a golden scepter. And he gave the jester, the king gave the jester the golden scepter. And laughing, he said to the jester, "Listen, when you find a bigger fool than yourself, then you can give them this golden scepter." Many years passed after that. The time came when the king grew ill and he was dying. And he was on his deathbed. And he asked to see the jester. And the jester came in and there was no joking now. There's no playing the fool anymore. And the jester went over to the king and he says, "Your Majesty, have you prepared for the journey that you're about to take? The journey of death? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you trusting in the Lord as your Redeemer?" And the old king says, "No, I haven't prepared for this journey. I haven't prepared for this journey." And the jester took the scepter out from under his coat and handed it to the king. And he says, "O king, you said many years ago, if I found a bigger fool than myself, to give this scepter to them. I'm now presenting it to you because you're a bigger fool than me. For you haven't prepared for the greatest journey of all." Oh, my friend, have you prepared for the greatest journey of all? Are you prepared for the journey of death into eternity? Do you know Christ as your Savior? Are you redeemed by the blood of the Lamb? Have you trusted Him alone for your eternal redemption? Are you standing upon Christ, the solid rock? Is He the anchor of your soul? If He's not, I pray tonight that you'll come and trust Him. Only trust Him, only trust Him, only trust Him now. He will save you, He will save you. He will save you now. He doesn't promise to save you tomorrow. He only promises to save you now. Because now is the accepted time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. But God said unto him, "Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God." Let us all pray. Father in heaven, this evening we thank thee and we praise thee for thee. O God, we